here. Amen. We just want to look to the Lord tonight. Amen. As we're standing on our feet. Amen. To spend a moment and just bask in His presence. Let's lift our hearts upward in prayer and adoration to He who made us, to Him who is calling us to Himself. We're so thankful. Amen. Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight. Lord, we're humbled to be here. We're humbled to be in Your presence, Father. Lord, I would desire so much, oh God, that Your greatness, Lord, would just be built up in every mind's eye and heart. Lord, that we can see, just move aside the things of this world, the troubles that might be burning up or building up in hearts, Father. Truly we can say, even as that Syrophoenician woman coming to Elisha's feet, how is it going? Is there trouble? He said, all is well. Doesn't matter what the trouble, Lord. Doesn't matter what's before us. Doesn't matter what we're looking at, Father. With You with us, oh God, we can truly say without a shadow of a doubt that all is well. Amen. So Lord, take control tonight of everything, Father. Lord, we certainly don't come with any confidence in our own ability, that's for sure. We certainly don't come with expectation of man. But Lord, we know that You're able, Father, to meet each and every need here, whatever that need is. You're more than able to do above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. But Lord, we believe that Your desire to fill us is great. And we believe Your desire to bless us, O God. Not in our sinful ways, certainly not, Lord, but being free from all of that. To walk into Your glorious light and the liberty of the sons of God. Grant it, Lord. Lord, just have Your way tonight, we pray. Each heart, everyone looking to You, we ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate your ministry to us very much. Amen. And thank the Lord while you're all standing. And I certainly want to welcome all those online. God bless you all. You all are such a blessing to us. Amen. I don't see Brother Tom DeFederico. Brother, if you ever hear this tape at all, or I just want to wish you a happy birthday. Amen. So, amen. 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 Thank you for your patience. While you're standing here, if you'd please turn over to Genesis chapter 15. Verse 1. This is kind of a continuation, if you would, the last time that I was up here. And it kind of, as I look back, I could see a theme here. So it's a continuation of that theme. I'd like to entitle this, and you're going to see from what I'm reading here, is Fear Not. Fear Not. 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Abram in a vision. Saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. I am thy shield. Fear not, Abram. That's the first time in the Bible that he ever uses that phrase, fear not. So go over to 26:24. Genesis 26, 24. This is Isaac now, the Lord appearing and speaking to Isaac. He said, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You see a theme here? God's people, fear not. It is his desire to bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Turn over to the New Testament, if you would, for one more verse. Luke 12, 32. Very, very familiar phrase. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's wonderful. Amen. Let's bow our heads again, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. We just pray now, Father, that you just break to us the bread of life. Speak through us, Lord. I pray that your word will fall on fertile hearts. I pray, too, that you would guide us and help us, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a kind of a scratch pad here for notes, so you'll have to bear with me tonight. There is so much to say, and I certainly won't keep you late, I promise you that. So set the expectations first, and just look to the Lord. Amen. I think of all this. And my desire is that our focus is on him, just with a steadfast gaze. Amen? And just to have that reality of the dimension, you heard me say this many times, of where he is. Because where he is more real than this dimension right here. This is a shadow land. And if we can't get that through our minds, we must. And see truly, just like Elisha said to his servant, you know, there's more of us than there are of them. So regardless of what engine or whatever thing that Satan has in mind to do, keep in mind that Satan is only a pawn in the hand of God. He can't do one thing without asking the Lord first. He's got to get permission before he could do anything at all. You are precious in his sight, and I might repeat myself, and I apologize, but I think it's clear, we have to understand, you are the apple of God's eye. Amen. And I'll watch over you day and night, and I'll water you. Amen. Lest anyone take you, pluck you from my hand. Amen. So keep that in mind. You are precious in his sight. You're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are his. Amen. Amen. So, of course, we're living in challenging times. I think just about every minister that comes behind this desk says that. And you know, as time goes on, it'll get more and more challenging. And I pray as we progress and as things get more and more challenging, we find in ourselves that our altitude is getting higher and higher. We feel ourselves lifting up from the gravitational pull of this world. Amen? And the reality of God and his word is becoming more real to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I marvel too, you know, even as we look into God's word, just when it seems like things are the bleakest and the things that are darkest, it's right then that God chooses to bring deliverance to his people. Right? Just about every time you can see, you can look at that And you know, Brother Derek, you know, was ministering too about the impossibility of conditions of how God loves to work in the impossible, you know. And I just say amen to that. And you just see that everywhere. Amen. So God is in control of all things. Amen. Satan is just a pawn in the hand of God. Okay? Yep. See, and a lot of times the principle is God will actually allow man to do things very harmful because they've rejected him. Mm-hmm. He will take his hand off and he will let them go according to their way. But he writes in his word exactly what's going to happen even before they do it, and they think that they're in control, and in fact, they're not. God is allowing them to go their way, allowing them to go the way that they think they should go. Remember, the devil seeks whom he may devour. He goes about as a roaring lion, right, seeking whom he may devour. He has one thing in mind. He wants to control. Okay? He wants to control. How does he control? He controls by compulsion, by exertion, by external forces. He tries to press upon you his way. But the Lord wants control. Two. And the Lord's way is not Satan's way. And Satan's way is not the Lord's way. Brother Branham talked about when he was confronted one time in the desert. And they said, you know, somebody came up to Brother Branham and says, why is it that your people don't come to church? He says, well, I don't know. So I went around, I started talking to them. And I says, he said, you know, why don't you go to church over there? He said, well, Brother Branham, we would. But every time we go, they want us to join. They want us to we can't be part of them unless we join. And he said, that is forced religion. He says, when you're forcing somebody, he said, that is not God's way. Okay? God draws us in. He says, we're drawn in by our heartstrings. Amen? Amen. And every time you ever see the move of God from history, you see that when the Spirit goes, that men become anointed by His Spirit. And his mind goes out, his heart goes out, his spirit goes out. And you can see then that has an effect on God's people. They respond to the Spirit of God, and it has, by the Word of God, it has an effect in their lives, and their lives change, and they become conformed to the Word that God is preaching forth. And there was, you know, Paul Johnson in his book of history, he's talking about the Methodist Church. He said that the Methodist movement started with enthusing and enlightening, but then went over to teaching and ruling. Teaching and ruling. So there's part of this where the Spirit of God comes on and he has his way. By the illumination of his word and his spirit, he convinced people, like in the Methodists, of holiness, and they have a desire to be holy, and they begin to put away the rings, the jewelry, they begin to wear modest clothing and they get themselves cleaned up and the Spirit of God is moving. And even John Wesley, when he was preaching, he preached, he said, and as people heard him, and he had gotten the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had gotten the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he started preaching his word. And some of what he had preached before, but it was different. He had the Holy Ghost was upon him. And right before him, men began to bend over and to convulse under conviction of the Spirit. What was it? It was the Holy Ghost moving sovereignly. John Wesley had nothing to do with that at all. It embarrassed him, quite frankly, as a man. He was not expecting that. But what was it? He was just a vessel, and God was using him, and it was having its effect in the people. And God was, again, bringing the people further into a further enlightening of His Word. And what was happening then, as people get their lives cleaned up, they saw what the Spirit is doing. Then all of a sudden they started making rules. You've got to do this. Oh, the Spirit did that. You've got to wear a long dress. You started making rules. So then people began to conform externally to what they saw the Spirit doing. One was life and the other was death. And there is a difference. We can't conform ourselves externally to what we see the Spirit of God. Do we have to have it be from the inside out or it doesn't count? Amen? Amen. So it's important that every one of us get the Spirit of God inside of us and that we be led by the Spirit of God. We led by what the Spirit of God tells us, not just by simply what we think. Amen. We don't want to be led as carnal men. Amen. Carnality, which is in every one of us, we all got to fight our carnality. It leads to death. It doesn't bring anything. It doesn't bring forth life. It doesn't. Anything that is birth of men comes to nothing. It's only what is born of the Spirit. Amen. So we know that people have rejected God and God is allowing men to bring judgment upon them. So that's what we're seeing, what's happening. We've seen this before. I've talked about this, how that an ungodly Nebuchadnezzar, an idol worshiper, how was he allowed to come in when he is guilty as guilty can be of not serving the living God, and yet God used him to judge God's people for not worshiping and not obeying and not walking in his truth. Now, think about that. They decided they don't want to listen. They decided, you know, I want to walk to worship other gods. I think that looks just different. It's kind of the new thing. Oh, they love to offer up their children to gods. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend. My mind doesn't go there. How? It just goes to show how good Satan is to twist men and to twist women's judgment with the things when the Word of God should be so clear that this is so much better. And if they'd have just walked in His laws, if they'd have just obeyed Him, if they'd have just done it, God poured out a blessing upon them and they would have been a city on a hill for all the world to see. This is what happens when you walk in obedience to God's word, and people would have run to them saying, truly, this way is better. But Satan works in his ways. He works secretive. He comes underneath and he begins his little clandestine ways and he pulls at him. But you know, again, we understand why that is. Why is that? It's because of this, our flesh. Our flesh is unregenerative. We know that all this was set as an example, and God knew that they would fall. He told them even before He brought them into the land, you're going to do this. He knew before, you know. If you do obey my laws, you'll get a blessing. If you don't obey it, you know, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and you know your crops will fail, and pretty soon you'll be taken from the very land that I bring you to, and the very people that I got rid of the land, that I drove out of the land, because of the things that they have done, okay, and you'll be guilty of the same thing. I will also take you out of the land for the same reason. So, and he warned them ahead of time. And they did it anyway. See, even warning doesn't prevent them from avoiding it. That's just astounding. So we see a lot of things that are happening, you know, in this world. We see a lot of droughts that are happening everywhere. And we can talk about why that is. Is it intentional? Is it not intentional? And sometimes men begin to seed clouds and so forth because they want it to rain over here. And inadvertently, they cause a deluge to flood And then they get too much water, and then it pulls from over here, and it becomes dry, and it causes a drought in other areas. And so we see that happening in different places of the world. You know, the Bible talks about there being times of drought. Why is this? Because God is not honored in their midst. They don't seek the Lord. Amen? So we're living in treacherous times. I'll touch on it a little bit more here, but we're told that we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents. Isn't that interesting? What does that mean? The Bible talks about that a wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Right? So there's some of that we got to be able to see and to know and not just be like sheep. You're not called to follow man. You're called to follow God. Right? Amen. Amen. And then bring everything that you hear, bring it right back to the Word of God. And we're supposed to follow Him. Amen? So He sends us out as lambs amongst wolves. So we have to walk by faith. Got to be wise, following only the Lord. Be wary of men who will try to twist you and bring you under bondage. Amen? Amen? Nothing can mix with this. Amen? This is your salvation. The Word of God quickening your heart is a thing of your salvation. Salvation is wholly of the Lord and applies to every aspect of our lives. Amen? Judgment begins in the house of God, the Bible says. So if there's truth that is going to be projected, it's got to come from the house of God. Amen? Whatever it is. And we know that there's only one truth that transforms. There's a lot of truths out there. How to build a tractor. You know, how a computer works. You know, networking, so forth. There's a lot of knowledge out there. A lot of truths. But none of those things will transform you. There's only one thing that will transform you, and that's the knowledge of God's Word. Amen? Amen. So, the Lord warned back in the Apostles' day, in Matthew 24, He warned them. He says, when you begin to see these things, let them that are in Judah flee into the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So there was a condition that the Lord was saying, watch out for these things. And when you see these things happen, okay, don't just stay there and take it, okay? And if you choose to do so, I will still be with you. It might be awful rough, but I will still be with you. By implication that He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the world. Were any caught in Jerusalem? Were there any of the believers of Jesus Christ caught in Jerusalem? According to Josephus, there wasn't a believer there. They had all managed to see the signs and to get out of there. Okay, so there's certain signs, certain things that are going on, right? And so right now, in this world here, we see they're trying to do certain things. They're trying to impress upon people that everybody's got to get this vaccine, so-called. Okay? But how many knows it's not really a vaccine? Do we all know that? It's not really. It's actually a gene therapy. It has absolutely nothing to do with the actual virus. There's no part of the virus in it whatsoever. It's just a little code in there, and it's a little bit of information here that is actually supposed to make this little thing shoot into your. There's actually two of them, two Moderna and Pfizer. You shoot it into the blood, and then this little RNA comes in and mixes with your DNA, and then it makes a spike protein. And the virologists, many of them, are coming forward and saying, That's death. That's death. Have nothing to do with that. We don't know what all it'll cause, but we've seen a lot of things. We know enough that this is not a good thing. The one who started the... I'm saying this, guys, and this is not political. This is something that, you know, I guess we've looked at often enough that we know. Saints, I love you. Okay? And again, I don't want to put fear in anybody's heart who has received that, because there's also great hope, you know. There's also something too, that the Lord watches out for his own. You should take up any deadly thing. It shall not harm you. Okay? But that isn't to say that we shouldn't, you know, intentionally go ahead and do something that you know better than not to do. The former VP of Pfizer suspects millions will die from this thing. The scientist that actually had the patent behind the technology of the Moderna vaccine said this is a horrible thing to inject it into the public like this. This is not a good thing. And Pfizer, by the way, are not inoculating their own employees with this vaccine. So that should tell you something. Okay? Okay? And you're not going to hear this from the media. They're not going to tell you this, because right now we have the situation where Satan is setting up the thing. We can see things are conditioned in such a way where Satan has got just about every avenue blocked. Just a handful of men are controlling the main media and the giant tech, and they're cutting and squashing any kind of information at all that these people are trying to let the warning out, you know, and they're getting blocked right and left in their, and these ones, you know, how do you know which one is right, Brother Greg? How do you know which one is right? It's very simple. Look at and see which one stands to receive billions of dollars and millions of dollars and billions from this, and others that have given up their position, their reputation, their bank accounts, and even have life threats. And they're standing there and they're telling you and they're warning you. Which has more credence? Okay? So, and the Nuremberg Code says you cannot be forced into a medical experiment against your will. Okay, so keep that in mind. We know that these things, though, are in place. We know that God has got a reason for it, but he also tells us we need to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. We do not have to submit ourselves to anything that the devil has there. Okay? Brother Branham makes a statement one time back in adoption in 60. He said, cancer is a toothache to what's coming, but remember the horrible thing was forbidden in that day to touch those who had the seal of God. That's what we're striving for, is to get in, to be positionally placed into the kingdom of God before these horrible plagues strike. Oh, how good. The dispensation of the fullness of time. So again, the things that we see that are taking place right now, these are flashing red lights of his coming. They don't want just the vaccine card. They want it to turn to an ID. And then not just an ID, they want a digital ID. They don't want just the vaccine. They want to control everything about us. Everybody's, they're seeing that. Okay? And, you know, so, but we know that these things have got to come to pass. So when we see these things happen, we don't get down. We don't get scared. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Brother Branham in the Word says, you know, when you see these signs, it is a dispensation of the fullness of time. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. In Exodus 20:20, if you want to turn there. I just wanted to get on to that. I hope that's okay. I just wanted to share something. Because I love you guys. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. So when the Lord allows things into our lives, when the Lord puts things before us, we have one purpose here on earth, and that is to prove his word. Rather, his word in us. Okay? His word is already, he puts his word above his name. It's not his word that is being tested, it's we're being tested in relationship to his word. Amen? And it's to prove us. It's to test us. It's to child train us. It's to bring us up into, Lord is going to put some things before us for one purpose. Things that maybe look scary, fearful, to show that we have nothing to fear. I know that sounds very crazy, but listen, if you're a dad and you want your child to not be afraid of water, what do? You bring him right to the water. And you teach him how to swim, how to get around, how to move around there, and so forth. Job said, the thing that I feared came upon me. Right? God allowed the very thing that Job feared just come upon him, and he was the better off on the other side of it. Everything that Job lost, the Lord gave back to him double. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So you put your unshakable faith in God's hands and to trust him regardless. No matter what you have to go through, God is with you. Remember what Betsy said to Corrie ten Boom. He says, no matter how deep the pit, God's love is deeper still. He says, we know because we've been there, and they'll believe us. Amen? So no matter how deep the pit, God's love is deeper still. Amen. Amen. Jesus was our example. In the days of his corporal ministry here on earth, and again, I've mentioned somewhat about this, so bear with me as I just touch on it again. Rome had overrun all of Israel. The Zealots, as they were called back then, were like today's modern patriots. Okay? They had a vast knowledge of their God-given position in the land, that land belonged to them. They had a right to that land. All right? God gave it to them. They stood on the righteousness of God's word. This is our land. God gave it to us. Okay? And so, and here was Jesus. And somehow, Jesus was not concerned about the Romans, that they had overrun the land of Israel. Sure, God had given that land to Israel. But there was another dispensation. And what was it? He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was concerning himself with and being totally consumed with the kingdom of God. And he was drawing their attention to that kingdom. And he said, that kingdom comes without observation. Isn't that interesting? He said, that kingdom is within you. Amen? Amen. He said, I am not of this world. Know something? His disciples, you are not of this world. Amen. And to further rub their salt into the pride of the zealots, Jesus said, if you be compelled to walk 1 mile, walk with them too. What? These Romans that are taken over and they're not even supposed to be here? I'm not supposed to. Surely, Lord, this can't be right. This is not fair. It's not righteous. This is our land. And you're going to, if they compel me to walk 1 mile, you say I'm supposed to walk with them too? Why? Because We're not of this kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. We're not looking on this earth, we're looking upward, right? That's where the testimony comes. It's not the first mile that you walk, it's the second mile. Wow, you're different. Why would you walk another mile? Because I've got the love of Christ in me. Let me tell you about Him, see? Amen. There were Romans that became followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's another thing. Matthew 17:24, when they had come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and says, "Does not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he cometh into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." So even Jesus acknowledging, "Then are the children free." Amen. "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Isn't that interesting? You're free. Yes, we're free. Let's not pay any taxes. Absolutely not. We're free. Lest we offend them. Sometimes we're asked to, you know, wear that stupid mask, right? That doesn't do anything good for anybody. It's been proven. If masks stop COVID, then Japan should not have had a bid of COVID, and they are the most masked of anybody, of societies. They walk around with masks constantly, and they had a big spike in COVID. Why? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't help. Everything proves that these don't help. But if you're disposed to go someplace, go into employment or whatever, and they have you put on a mask, right? Lest you offend them, just wear the mask. No big deal. But for your children, for the schools, fight like crazy because they're children of God. That blocks their oxygen. That's not healthy. Absolutely. There's a time that you step back, don't offend, but there's another time you stand and say no. Right? Amen. Amen. Isaiah 35:3 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." If you want to turn to it, that's fine. Just look to me if you would. Look with me. I just so thankful to the Lord. He's so mindful of us. "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Aren't you glad for that? "The lion shall be, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Are you guys getting warm? Should I turn it? You guys okay? A little warm? Let me just do that here. Bear with me. say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. That's something, that's kind of quite something to say. Say that are weak, be strong. Say that are fearful, be not afraid, be strong. The Lord's strength is with you. He can strengthen you. The strength is in the Lord, it's not in ourselves. The strength is always there as a source for us, whatever we find ourselves in. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." See, we can walk in perfect soundness of mind with absolutely no fear in our hearts. Why is that? Because God is on the throne. Amen? He provides for every one of our needs, whatever that is. Amen. Luke 12, if you want to turn there. 4. Luke 12:4. "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you have fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and are not one of them is forgotten before God? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than sparrows." See, the Lord absolutely wants us to be, stand like flint, without any fear. You might die. I'm not afraid of that. Okay, that's the whole point. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of anything that shall befall us by God's grace. Whatever he has us to go through, there's no fear. Why is that? Because God is with us. Amen? 12:33 says, "The life is more than meat, and body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Here's the point. "If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Aren't you glad for that? The Lord promised us. And they didn't have an hourly job whereby they received a wage. You can imagine their standard of living was quite rough. And you can imagine that what will they eat for the next meal was ever present on their mind. We don't have that so much here in our society, at least not yet. But the whole point is that we don't fear. Lord will provide. Amen? Amen. Verse 29, "Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You see, The Lord wants us to be so caught up in the vision of the kingdom of God that that reality is ever before us, that we don't fear anything that's happening around us. It doesn't mean we go along with everything that happens around us. We just don't fear it. Okay? Amen? And regardless of what we find ourselves in, the Lord will deliver us. I've got a little story to share, and I've got a verse that I'd like to maybe leave with you, and then we'll wrap it up here. Have you ever heard of the story of the Shackleton expedition, about this man? He threw out this invitation, bad pay, very dangerous mission, cold, very cold weather, adventure, little chance of return. Looking for men who are looking for an adventure. Can you imagine answering an ad like that? But that's what he put forth, and these men came. And they came and they went to on an expedition to explore Antarctica. And so here they came into their ship. They got right up in there, and just like that, the weather changed. And just like that, they were sealed right in. And they were stuck. And then pretty soon, the sea started to claim the ice, claim the ship. And the ship started to turn into just to a pile of splinters. They had, of course, taken everything out of the boat, and it was very clear that they weren't going to get home that way. 27 men is what he was in charge of. They ended up shooting the dogs. They had three lifeboats that they had. They put them on skids using the planking from the ship, and they pulled all they had with their supplies, and they went out to the coast, and they went out to sea, and they made it as far as Elephant Island, and then there they were. And you can imagine they were hungry, they were drenched, and they were there. Now, what do you do? They turned the boats over, they made shelters, you know, they're eating their provision. And Shackleton knew that if they stayed there any longer, nobody would come to rescue them, that they would die. Someone had to go forth, and someone would have to go and get help. And so he grabbed him and three other guys, and they took one of the boats, and they shoved off to sea. They couldn't go to the Horn of South America because the winds were contrary and the waves were contrary. And so they decided they're going to go to South Georgia, which was an island 1,500 miles away. And they had this boat. He had this little sextant here. And they were to navigate this small 22.5-foot boat along unbelievable seas. He talked about the waves being as high as houses and being sloshed around and being underneath clouds and having to sail with dead reckoning. And if they got by just even a little bit here or a little bit there, they would have shot past that island and gone to who knows where. And they were cold, and they were drenched. And sometimes it got warm enough to where their drenched clothes got dried enough just to be damp. But it was the start of the winter, because it was April coming into May, as you know, in the south. So treacherous. They were cold. They were chattering. They had times where they didn't eat, you know, for days. It took them 11 days. They finally reached the south part of that island by the grace of God. Only three men were strong enough that they had to go. They're in the wrong part of the island. It's a big, long island, South Georgia. It had big mountain range through the center. Just big bunch of mountains is what it was. And they were on the wrong side of this long mountain here. They had to, Long Island, they had to go to the north side is where the settlement was. And three, they climbed up the mountain, drenched, weak, end of their strength. How did they do that? They went up there and they went over the mountain range, and Shackleton made this statement. Yes. Water froze on the boat, almost sinking it, and they ran out of water, not to mention were soaked through before eventually landing on the south side of South Island. The wrong side. And they had to do an uncharted land crossing of South Georgia, a land of glaciers, spiky mountains, and inhospitable terrain, which, by the way, no one had ever done before, and they weren't prepared for, and had little to no equipment to do it. And beside, the rest of the world would likely assume they were all dead, so no one would be looking for them. How do you like those odds? And it was winter, okay? With nothing but nails in their boots to act as crampons and carpenter's axe and 50 feet of rope, Shackleton, Frank Worsley, and Tom Crean left the others on the beach, summoned the last ounce of energy, all they had any left was beyond me, and made a nonstop, treacherous, dangerous 36-hour crossing. Shackleton said, looking back, "When I look back at those days, I have no doubt that Providence guided us, not only across those snow fields, but across the storm-white sea that separated Elephant Island from our landing place on South Georgia. I know that during that long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that we were four, not three. And I said nothing to my companions on the point, but afterwards, Worsley, he was the one that charted him there. He was the navigator. He said to me, 'Boss, I had a curious feeling on the march that there was another person with us.' Crean confessed to the same idea. One feels the dearth of human words, the roughness of mortal speech, and trying to describe things intangible. But a record of our journeys should be incomplete without reference to a subject very near to our hearts. God was with them." See, so no matter how impossible it seems, the condition you may find yourself in or whatever it is, know that God is with you. And the Lord loves to deliver out of the impossible. So keep that in mind always. Amen. Amen. One last feat of faith. They were shot. They didn't think they could go another step. They laid down to sleep. And Shackleton knew that they had to get up and move. And he said, "It's been 30 minutes. It wasn't. It was just two. But he knew he had to get them up. He says, "Come on, we got to go." And so he came up to the precipice. They're just right up there on the very top. Totally black. They couldn't even see what was down below there. They were on the top of the mountain. They hooked their legs together, made a human toboggan, if you would, and they just slid down to parts unknown, blind, down this mountainside. They had no choice. There was no strength left. There wasn't anything left. It was either die or live. This is our only choice. And by God's grace, they made it. Amen. Yeah. I just thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. One other point, you don't have to turn to it. In 2 Kings 25, God told Isaiah, he says, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard the prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Now this is a part that I just want to draw your attention to. God said he would heal Hezekiah. And Isaiah said, obviously talking to the people that were there, "Take a lump of figs." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. I just want to let that soak in a little bit. God said he would heal. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs and put it on the boil. And he recovered. Isn't that something? Why didn't God just heal him? Just touch him. God, he's a creator. He can do anything. He could just make the thing just totally disappear right before their eyes. Take a lump of figs and lay it on that boil. And they recovered. Here's the point. God does not always perform in the matter that we would judge him to perform. He works many ways. In fact, Brother Branham tried to correct those people that didn't believe in doctors. God uses doctors. Have faith in that. In fact, in the prayer line, somebody came up not believing in doctors. I'm going to stand before this man of God here. He's going to call heaven down, and I'm going to be healed here on the spot. Brother Branham told him, he says, if you go back to your doctor and you do what he says, you'll get better. You'll get healed. Isn't that astounding? The Lord discerned his heart. God corrected something in him. And not to say that all doctors can be trusted. That wasn't the point. God does use doctors. Amen? But we don't judge necessarily how it is that he's going to do it. There was this one Rebecca Wade, you remember the story, she had a horribly cleft mouth. And Brother Branham called him out. He says, thus saith the Lord, God heals your daughter. And here she, when that happened years ago, Brother Branham was taken off the scene, and here she was entering into school, fifth grade. She still had this horrible cleft in her mouth. You know? What happened was in itself remarkable. But she talked to Brother Neville, and they're talking about different things, and finally Brother Neville turned to Brother Wade. He says, you know, brother, he says, don't limit how it is that God is going to actually cause that healing to take place. God said he would heal. Why don't you go ahead? And if I were you, I would go seek medically to go ahead and fix that, because that could be the way that God chose. He made an appointment to go out east. On his way there, he was stopped in Tennessee. He was in a hotel. He was in the lobby. And there was a man there. And he saw, noticed his daughter there. He says, "Let me. Look, you mind if I look at your daughter, sir?" And he looked at her. He said, you know, I don't know if you know this or not. He says, but I am a physician. I work on one like yours. And if you don't mind, I would like to do the surgery on your daughter. If you don't mind. And the doctor made an arrangement with a local hospital there. Now remember, he had an appointment with somebody out east. But he went ahead with the doctor into this hospital in Tennessee. I believe it was Tennessee. And he performed it. And then he checked out and the doctor was gone. And he totally sewed together her mouth and everything. And so Brother Wade called the doctor out east, said, you know, brother, you know, no doctor. He said, I want to just cancel my appointment, he said. And he explained to him what happened. And this doctor said, well, that might be. Would you please do me a favor? I'd like to look at your daughter anyway. Please come. And I just love how God does things. That was for confirmation for Brother Wade. And I'll tell you why. Because then when they went and saw that doctor examined the mouth. And he was incredulous. He says, how many surgeries was this? He said, just one. He said, this is remarkable. He says, I could only do this in two surgeries. And this man did it in one. He said he did such a neat job. And if you're ever to see Sister Rebecca, is her name? I forget what her name is. Forgive me. But anyway, I didn't even know. I couldn't tell she was you know, had that. But the Lord did it. So we're grateful for that. So the point is, don't limit how God is going to meet your need. I got a bunch of stuff here to give examples, but I just want to leave you with the scriptures. 1 John 4:18. I love you guys. You're wonderful saints, real examples to me. And I'm sure I'm thankful to the godly brothers and sisters that the Lord has placed in my life. First John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us." So keep in mind, perfect love, casts out fear. If you feel fearful, remember, perfect love casts out fear. What is perfect love? That's God's own love. And it's for us. Amen? Amen. If the musicians would come, let's just bow with a word of prayer. And I'd like to sing a song, His Strength is Perfect, if we could play that one. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful. You're so faithful, oh God, to your word, and you're faithful to your children, you're faithful to your plan of salvation. In you is yea and amen. In you do all good things flow. And so, Father, I pray truly that you would just bless your word to your people, Father. Father, just even something that I didn't say, but maybe a truth that just ignited in their heart and life, just to raise them ever higher, Lord, in faith. And knowing that they're not for themselves, but for people around them, for their brothers, for their sisters, for their children, for the neighbors, for the co-worker, to be a light, to be a help, to be a strength. You are the fountain of wisdom, Father, but we could be channels of that wisdom. You are life, Lord. And we, you said you'd be in us, a spring into everlasting life, bubbling up, Lord. So help us, Father, lay aside the things that seem to short-circuit faith, the things, Lord, that causes our eagle eyes to scale over, Lord, but look straight to your word, straight to your promise. For in you is yea, and in you, amen, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, for all that you do, O God. And pray, Lord, that you'd help us just rise up higher. Grant it, Lord. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, it's in the handout. Anybody know the number?
He can do for me.
Five.
Strength is perfect.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Greg. Fear is an enemy. We can't allow it anywhere near us or anything. Be careful what you take into your head. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you see. The first scripture that Brother Greg read this tonight, Genesis chapter 15, would you just turn there quickly? Caught me there. Okay. What is the first thing there God says to Abram? God, the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, what did he say? Fear not, why? I am what? What's a shield? Okay. What do you do with a shield? What, brother? Okay, when you have a shield, where do you put it? How far? What? Real close. So, what did he say? I am as a shield? He says, I am what? So what is he telling you? Fear not, because I am what? I'm right here. What's on the other side of me? Anything that can attack you. Right? Okay. But they'll have to get through me to get to you. And I'm telling you, don't fear, because I'm here. Okay. I am here. It's my presence. Derek, look that word shield up in your ancient Hebrew. It's quite beautiful. Yeah, there's two things here. There's a seed, okay? And then there's, they call it a boot. But here, it says, what does this mean? This is that word, and this is how Moses wrote it, using those things. I am that. Don't fear, because I am this. So, this is the seed, of course, okay? Now, the pictograph is, I'm just reading, is a picture of a foot and means to walk with an extended meaning to gather. I'm gathering my seed. In other words, the seed, the picture, is a sprouting seed. Combined, this means a gathering of seeds, or a, go down to letter A, which is what it's supposed to say, is a garden enclosed by walls. He's protecting his seed. What have we been talking about for weeks and weeks? He's protecting his seed. So, watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're feeding upon, and you question everything these days but the Word of God. Because that's the only place we can rest. Brother Branham, in the message, I was just looking this up because there was, he said, the angel of God is here. This is from 1954. It's called Redemption by Power. He says, in between each one of you and what you're facing is the angel of God. This, I am your shield. Okay. The angel of stands, the angel of God moving up here to stand between you and your sickness, between you and death. Isn't that beautiful? Go listen to that message. It's absolutely phenomenal. All right, put on your shockproof jackets. Here it comes. Look, every man that rejects light goes blind and walks into darkness because you don't accept the light. Amen? God sends ministers that preach the gospel. He sends signs and wonders among men to vindicate the truth. and men reject it, there's nothing left but darkness for you. But walk in the light while the light is shining, my brother. Receive the light. Okay? And that light is your protection. That light is your protection. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Now, Brother Branham preached a message in the, I think, early AIDS stages. He says, do you fear cancer? I think if the Holy Spirit and the prophet was here, he would say, do you fear COVID? There's a coming in time, and now is, I believe, where our faith has to rise up above sight. We talk about it. We've talked about it for a long time. But our sight still governs. Okay? In the book of Acts, we know the story of Paul on the Isle of Malta when he got bit by the viper. What was the reaction of the people when he got bit? And they expected him to do what? And they said, what of him? Surely he must be... No, at first. A murderer. Okay. Yep. Here's a murderer. Here's a evil man. He's escaped and look at... He's getting his punishment, right? And so here comes the snake, and the snake just didn't bite him. He... It. Yeah. What color was it? Doesn't make any difference. So here's a snake and it's hanging on my arm. Very poisonous. What does Paul do? Goes over to the fire and goes about his business. Then what did they say? The gods have come down. Here's a god. Okay. What was in Paul's heart? Christ. Faith. Okay? So the testimony of those watching said, changed the testimony. Here's a murderer, here's a bad person, here's an evil person, there's a God. This has to happen again. No, I'm not kidding. We're playing around way too much. Faith has to become real. Faith has to become our, not a secondary thing that we catch up on, but a primary thing that's in our hearts and our minds. And until that happens, I don't think we'll be ready for a rapture. I really don't. If it takes perfect faith, it's perfect revelation, it's perfect rest, it's perfect presence. Is God your shield? Are you the seed of Abraham? He didn't give you his shield. He says, I am your shield. I'm right there. Yeah. I want you to know, I have not spoken about COVID vaccines on purpose. I want our vision above that. I know some of you have taken it, and I know some of you have taken it in faith, and all I can say is God bless you because your heart was in the right place, and I know God will protect you. And what you do in faith, God honors. So don't worry. How big is our God? How big is our God? That's what I ask you every week now. How real is he? Now, on the other hand, I have a problem in the natural. I can't have sugar. We all know what refined sugar does, and it does a big time on me. Do I go eat sugar because I'm a Christian? That's true. And my faith isn't there because it still affects me. Someday it won't. When, okay, what did Brother Branham say about you? What did he reveal to you that has never been revealed until this day? You are small what? What did they call Paul? Oh, you must be a God. Okay? He was. Your testimony was true. Before he was a murderer. So, both were true, but he became a God in their eyes when God was displayed in him. Right? Let's quit talking about it. Let's start believing it. If this is real, then it's real, then it's real. Now, some of us have not gotten vaccines. You know, listen, I'm just going to address something very shortly. I can tell you what news you listen to by what I've heard from you, okay? And here's what is so interesting to me. I've watched people, okay? Mary has a brother that has just went totally beyond angry with us all last winter, calling us everything but dirt. He was assuming things about us, okay? And he said, I can listen to this, but I can't listen to this because I know that is false and I know this is true. I have a question for you. You listen to something because you assume that is truth. What inside of you says this is truth and that isn't? This station I can listen to, but I can't listen to that one. This one I can hear over here, and I believe that, but this one over here I don't. Why? When you know there's no truth outside of this anyway, when you know there's nothing but deception out there anyway, what are you taking in your mind, and why do you say this is truth and this isn't? Because those ones that say, you have to be vaxxed, you can't be vaxxed, you have to, you can't, you have to, where's your walk? Is it based by what you hear on outside information? I've only been asked by one person, should I get the vaccine? And I said, you do the research. You study it out. I sent him some links. Study this, study that. Then you pray, and you do what God says for you to do. I'm not going to be your God. He's your God. I'm not going to let you lean on me. I'm going to make you lean on him. And neither am I going to have a political thing here. I won't do it. Our eyes have to be bigger and on bigger things than this realm. Now, if you do, I trust you all that what you did it with goodness in your heart and a reason in your heart and faith in your heart. And God bless you. And I won't go beyond that.
I'm the same.
Whatever. You walk with God. But what? Look around you, brothers and sisters. I can tell you every single one that listened to mainstream, and I can tell you the other ones that listen to Fox, and I can tell you the ones that listen to alternative media. And you will say, this one's true and this one isn't, this one's true and this one isn't, and this one's true and this one isn't, and I accept this, but I don't accept that. Why? Why? Why did you say, this one I can, Mary said, oh, MSNBC, I can always believe them, they're the truth, and we would go. Other ones would say, I can't listen to Fox, that's all lies. The other one goes to this and says, you are, it's exactly, Brother Derek, you are what you eat. Why are you eating and drinking stuff from the world? Check it out. Do your own research. Make your own decisions, but pray. Go to God. Seek him first in whatever. You have a sixth sense that nobody else in the world has. Use that sixth sense. Walk in that sixth sense. We have these. What did Brother Branham says? You have the five senses to contact what?
This world.
You have to for your existence. But you don't have to for your spiritual walk. There's a difference. You have to do it in this world. You have to live. You have to work. You got to do it. But that shouldn't govern anything in your spiritual life. So you ask yourself the questions. Why am I accepting I can listen to this and I know it's true? Well, why do you know it's true? Research, study, get opposing. If you have some real strong opinion and feeling something, go to the get the opposite and see what it does to you. Challenge yourself. This doctor says this. Well, how much research is done over there? Is this an opinion or is it really research? What kind of testing was done? How do you know they tested? How do you know it's true? Check it out. But don't do your decision on that. Only by going to God. Go to Him. Let Him govern every single thing you do. Let Him be glorified. Let Him be Lord. Let Him be your guide. Walk with God. So. But I like what you're preaching, Brother Greg. No fear. This world is troubling. I am incredibly brokenhearted. My heart is wrenched by what I see. I see people's faith crumbling, like I said last Sunday, in South America. And I see my brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, and they, my heart breaks. I thought, you know, I heard about Benghazi several years ago, and it just about tore me apart. Here's people crying for help, and nobody says, no, we're not going to help you, huh? What kind of a country is this? What kind of a country has this become? If somebody asks you for help, what would you do? Would you turn an eye and say, no, I'm too busy, I can't? What kind of a Christians are we? So here's people in Afghanistan. Okay, what did they say? Jesse, we've heard this many times in the last several days. They have our names. They have been given notes. They've been given notification by the Taliban. We know who you are. We know where you are. And we know that you're coming for us. And they say, we know that we're going to die a very torturous, painful death. What have you gotten that in the mail? Would you sleep very peacefully tonight, Ron? But then I go back to the thing, and Jesus says, hey, you know, Ron, I don't want you to be afraid of those that kill your body. See, why is that secondary in my mind? Oh, I got to remember that. Why isn't the word first place always? What is this life? Huh? We talk about these things we talk about for years. Isn't it time they become reality in all of us? So Jesus said, don't fear those that kill the body. What am I afraid of then? Did he mean it? Do you know what? It blows my mind. I go back to that day when he was talking to those disciples, and he was taking those disciples. He says, you're going to become apostles. They didn't even know it at the time. But he was preparing them. He was preparing for them for the walk they had ahead, and the walk that they had again that they sent. And you know what? They started out in Jerusalem together, huddled. Right? Did they stay in Jerusalem? Where did they go? Two by two? each one went in a different place, right? Isn't that what Thomas went to India, this one went to this, right? They walked, ended up walking, not with my buddy, not as groups, alone with God. With the voice of Jesus always in their heart saying, don't fear, Andrew, Peter, James, John, don't fear them that kill a body. Fear me. But speak what I ask you to speak. Oh, they'll hate me. That's okay. Because they have a revelation that this life isn't just this life. There's a life that is deeper than this. Then that life has to become the reality that governs everything we are and do. That life, eternal life. Life of the soul. God bless you. Let's rise up and be strong. Men and women of God, not men of the world. And definitely don't become a man of men. Don't you dare. Learn what it means to become a man of God, to walk with God, to listen to God. Watch what you take into your head, brothers and sisters. Brother Alfred, come on up and close in prayer, would you?
Let's pray. And so, gracious Heavenly Father, we are privileged people once again, O Father. Lord, this is truly our heart desires. You will speak to us, Lord. Always, Father, pray and said, we want to leave from here, saying within ourselves, letting our hearts burn within us, even as you spoke to us, Father. And we can truly say that our hearts burn within us, because your words always come to correct us, Lord, where we fall short, O God. May you please help us not to be controlled by what we see, the physical realm, Lord, but to focus on the spiritual things, Father. Lord Jesus, be thou merciful to our many shortcomings, our failures. Oh God, places who put emphasis on the natural instead of the supernatural, Father. We pray for mercy tonight. We just want to say thank you, our precious brother, who yearns to speak to our hearts this evening. And our own pastors, Father, thank you for this ministry that you have given to us, Lord. It's a blessing, truly, Father. This is what we want, Lord. We pray that God, you will continue to bless us out there, Father, that we can be that written episode. Listening to a sermon this morning, identifications, Father. And Brother Brian speaking, he said, the time will come, people who want to read the written word. He said, but you are that looking glass. And the scripture said, we are a written epistle, read of all men. May you please help us, Lord, that we can truly be that written epistle, Lord. Not just, oh God, in church, Father, but at home where no believers is. Father God, we pray that you will help us to represent Jesus. And when people look at us, Lord, they can see Christ in us, Lord. Indeed, we can be that true written epistle, read of all men. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, you take us home safely, even as you brought us this evening. We want to pray for those who were not able to be with us this evening. We pray, God, you bless them. Many people that have come down with this COVID vaccine, like our brother spoke this evening, fear not. Lord God, the way Brother Don came back and said the shield God is our shield, oh Father. May you be our shield always, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the testimony out there. We pray, Father, you'll bless us tonight. You'll take us home safely, even as you brought us here, Father. Till we meet again, may the name of the Lord Jesus never depart our lip. May you rest in the bow of us. These are many more things we ask. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray with fervent thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, look. Look at all those gods out there. Didn't we say to whom the word comes to? You are gods?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question before you leave. Did the word come to you? Did the word of the prophet come to you? Well then, yeah. Go. Remember the slave that was the son of the king? He walked like it.
Didn't like it.
It's about time we do it, right? Too many stories. That's all they've been. God bless you. Love you all.